Welcome, baseball fans, to episode 53 of the Nats GM Show, the only podcast available exclusively through the Nats GM Radio Network. I am your host, Ryan Sullivan, editor-in-chief of NatsGM.com and the baron of all baseball podcasts. Before we start talking baseball this week, one quick note of business, if I might. Our podcast is looking for a sponsor or sponsors, so if you are interested in reaching several thousand people per episode, please visit NatsGM for further details.
Hi, this is Matt Jackson of the Young Bucks, best tag team in professional wrestling, and you are listening to the Nats GM Show. Too sweet me.
And now, I am proud to be joined by this week's guest, former UCLA pitching superstar and the 2015 MLB Draft first-round selection by the New York Yankees, James Caprillion. James, welcome to the Nats GM Show.
Thank you very much. Thank you for having me.
First and foremost, did I get the name right?
You got the name right.
All right. Thank goodness. Well, first, I wanted to get that right, and second, I wanted to thank you for joining me tonight. I've been a big fan of your work at UCLA for a long time. I've been a fan of yours, so it's very it's a treat and an honor to be able to talk to you tonight. Thank you.
Thank you. I'm glad to be here.
First and foremost, the place I want to start with you is you had a terrific high school career out in California, and you were fortunate enough to be drafted in the 40th round by Seattle out of high school. I want to get your kind of your take on what that draft day experience was like, and you know, if you gave any thought to signing professionally out of high school.
Yeah, you know, for me, my goal was to always go to college and be able to work towards a degree. It's just something that, you know, I'd always envisioned for myself. You know, education has kind of always been an important factor in my life to me and my family, and so that was something that, you know, I wanted to accomplish. When the actual draft day did arise, it was a little bit stressful because, you know, you're an 18-year-old kid and people are throwing money at you and numbers and stuff. And you want to be able to, you know, make the right decision and stuff. And but at the same time, when you're an 18-year-old kid, you know, whatever amount of money it is sounds really good at the time, but it might not cover you forever. So I had made a pretty clear and distinct you know, verbal commitment to UCLA, and explained to all the professional teams that I was planning on attending school. So that was basically the draft day and experience for me. It was a little hectic at times, but it was, you know, it was okay.
Did you ever get tempted at all to sign?
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, I got a call in the supplemental round, and I just, you know, I was shocked, and I was just like, man, this sounds really good right now. And, but you know, I'm glad I made the decision I made. So,
well, and it's not a bad fallback to go to UCLA and play baseball there, which I do want to ask you about.
Absolutely.
How'd you decide to go to UCLA?
Coach Savage is the pitching coach and head coach at UCLA, and for me, he had a plan. You know, for me to achieve, he wanted me to get better. I wanted to go somewhere where I was going to be able to get a meaningful degree, you know, experience the full college experience, and then also be able to play for a national championship and develop as a baseball player. And for me, to be quite honest, UCLA was the best option in all of those categories. So I had no choice but to say yes to UCLA.
Well, you walked onto campus, and I believe you were the closer your freshman year. What was give me a little idea of what that's like.
It was good. I mean, that was actually the first time I had pitched out of the bullpen. We had a pretty strong pitching staff and a great group of starters. A lot of guys who were older than me at the time. And, so for me, it was, you know, it was good to be in there and have a role to be able to contribute to the team, and do whatever I could to help the team win. And, I also was able to learn, from a lot of those older guys and those starters about, you know, creating routines and stuff for the years to come for me, when I did actually, eventually come into a starter the next year. So it was good. It was a big learning year, able to just kind of pick brains of other guys who are older and who've kind of done it before, which was good for me.
Did you enjoy the adrenaline rush of coming in kind of with the game on the line?
Yeah, definitely. I mean, basically any time that I got the ball, I mean, we were, you know, winning or tied. And I don't know, it's a good feeling knowing that your team trusts you out there. They want you to have the ball. And so I love the adrenaline. It's, you know, when you're out there, though, it's all about, you know, being able to control your aggression and, you know, keep the game slow and don't let it speed up on you too much. So there's a little bit of a fine line of, you know, how much adrenaline and excitement you can really have out there. But for the most part, yeah, I love that kind of stuff. And it was a good experience for me to come out of the bullpen.
And I would think it would be very difficult to channel that adrenaline as an 18-year-old freshman just onto campus, you know, trying to save the game and everything else.
Yeah, definitely. I mean, that's part of the learning part. I mean, you're out there and, you know, some of these big crowds, and you want to be able to do what you can and you know, do it the best way you can. And but at the same time, you got to be able to control it, like you said, and just kind of keep the game slow.
So then after your freshman year, you transitioned into being the Friday night guy for UCLA, both as a sophomore and as a junior. I'd love to hear your thoughts on transitioning from the closer role, as we talked about, to going to being, you know, frankly, the man.
Yeah, I mean, it was a little different. Being a starter my whole life didn't make it too difficult. And, you know, I kind of had an approach, an idea on, you know, how to do things. But for me, you know, coming out of the bullpen, you have to be ready to throw the ball, you know, any day. As a starter, you know, you're scheduled for every Friday, every week. So it's more about routine and, you know, finding out what works best for you and then sticking to that routine, you know, as tightly as possible. And, you know, going about your work, you know, throughout the week with conditioning and bullpen throughout the week and, you know, long toss and all sorts of stuff like that and weightlifting, you know, days, you know, whatever works best for me individually. So I'd say that was the biggest thing, you know, being able to establish routines. That sophomore year was a big learning change from the closing role to a starter.
What did you do on those Fridays? Was there anything in specific? I have to eat at this time, I have to throw at this time? Did you get into that type of regimented schedule?
A little bit. I mean, there's a little bit of superstition in there. I actually found myself always going to Whole Foods to get a sandwich for the game, and it was pretty funny. But yeah, I mean, just throughout the week, I mean, there's kind of just a timely routine of, you know, certain things I have to do on certain days and certain kinds of conditioning. So it's more of like a weekly routine, if anything.
And I know you pitched as a starter in high school, but how did the body react? I mean, were you sore for a few days afterwards, and were you surprised that, you know, the toll that it takes on your body, so to speak?
Yeah, it's definitely different. But, I mean, that's kind of – you kind of put in all that hard work throughout the week and you know, the days coming after your outing and, you know, in the off season, you know, you put in all this work. That way your body's, you know, durable and able to go through these long games or where you might have the ball in the eighth or ninth inning, you know, when you need to be able to, you know, bear down and dig deep and be that guy for your team. Those are the kind of moments that instead of, you know, having to be out there thinking, oh man, I'm tired right now, your body's just kind of, you know, continues to go. And it's all the kind of work that in preparation through the off season.
Now, what was pitching in the regionals like this year? You guys were, if I have it correct, UCLA was the number one overall seed this year. Unfortunately, I don't want to go into how things went, but what was that experience like pitching against Maryland and just the experience of pitching in the NCAAs?
It was great. I mean, anytime you get the opportunity to A, pitch in a regional and B, host a regional, it's a fun experience. And the atmosphere's 100 times better. I mean, everyone's locked in on the game. It's a lively event, and it's a lot of fun to be able to pitch in the postseason.
So how do you, I don't know how to wrap up your college career, but looking back on it now, you pretty much accomplished everything you could have wanted, right? I mean, got to pitch in the postseason.
Yeah, I mean, we got to pitch in the postseason. Freshman year, we got a national championship. you know, it's been good so far, so I don't want to jinx anything, you know.
Well, congratulations on all that. If I can transition now, I want to a little bit. I don't want to say you're one of the few, but one of the few people that got to pitch both in the Cape Cod League and in Team USA during your college career. I'm a huge fan of the Cape and the product they put out there. I just I'd love to hear your thoughts both on both summer leagues and, you know, maybe compare and contrast them a little bit.
Yeah, the Cape was a great experience. I mean, being able to go out there and play among some of the best players in the country, and it's a good time, and it's fun out there. I mean, it's a little different, obviously, and you're living with the host family and getting to know new guys and playing with a new team. So it's a lot of fun, and you know, the competition was good. You know, left and right, you got to be able to make pitches, and when you don't, guys hit mistakes out there. So it was a lot of fun to be able to be in the Cape and just, you know, be around such a great group of other players.
Did you have a good host family in YD?
Say it one more time.
Did you have a good host family when you were with YD?
Yeah, I did. I did. Yeah, I lived with an older woman named Mrs. E, and she hosted me and three other boys, so she had her work cut out for her. But she was great. She was a good time.
Now, how does the Cape experience compare with the Team USA experience?
Team USA was definitely a little different. You know, obviously the competition's still very high, but at the end of the day, you're playing and representing your country. You know, playing for Team USA, you're playing against, you know, the Chinese Taipeis, Japan's, the Cubas, and you're playing against the best of the best that they have. So knowing that you're out there and representing your country, it's a little bit different. You know, it's the same kind of aspect. All those guys are really good baseball players, and it was interesting to see, you know, some of the guys play the game a little bit differently at the end of the day. They still play the same baseball game, so it was fun to play and watch other guys play. And, same kind of thing, though. I mean, just talent was through the roof for Team USA, and obviously the competition was there, too.
Yeah, that was my question, is how does the competition compare Team USA-wise versus the Cape?
It was good. I mean, I think obviously Team USA competition was probably a little bit better, and you know, all the guys, even on the team was extremely competitive with each other. You know, everyone still fighting for roles out there. You know, we got a bunch of guys who are all shortstops, and someone's got to play second base. You know, and it's the same thing with pitching. You know, there's a bunch of starters, but at the end of the day, you know, you have a couple guys who start, and other guys need to be able to grab the ball in the bullpen and. You know, let it go. So it was good, though. I mean, we all learned from each other. We got each other better. And it was a good experience to be able to know some of those guys. And now a lot of those guys are out playing professional and having great careers so far. So good to know some of those guys.
What was the biggest lesson you learned with that, you know, 6-week, 8-week experience over that summer?
Biggest lesson?
Mm-hmm.
I don't know. I mean, it was, I guess, just because you're traveling so much, and sometimes, you know, even when you're not feeling great. I mean, I came down with like flu out there for like a week or something, and I had to pitch like, you know, Friday or Saturday, and I was just feeling awful. And but at the end of the day, like, I just kind of had to, you know, suck it up and do my job and give my team a chance to win. And that's kind of one of the things that, you know, even in college, that our coach kind of, you know, pitched to us was, you know, it doesn't always matter how you feel. You got to be able to go out there and give your team a chance to win. So, you know, with all the travel and the bus rides, you know, the early flights and the hotel beds, and, you know, you just got to be able to go out there and do your job regardless of what the situation is.
Yeah, it gives you a nice preview of minor league life, unfortunately, or fortunately.
Yeah, definitely. No, absolutely.
So now let me move forward again, if I may, and talk about your draft day experience. You were drafted 16th overall, I believe, by the Yankees. So you were drafted on the first, I guess, night, not even the first day.
Yeah.
What was that experience like, waiting to be selected, and just kind of give us your experience of that night?
Draft day was fun. I mean, a little, you know, exhilarating, obviously, but you know, you go through the draft and you meet all these teams, their scouts and whatnot, and you don't always know right away, you know, who's actually interested. And the draft can fall so many different ways. You know, another team might pick someone up, and that might leave someone else open to pick for another team. So you never really know. You know, there's all these mock drafts and things like that. So, you know, we didn't really keep too close an eye to it, but, you know, I was able to see, actually, the Yankees kind of popped up multiple times. So looking at that, I was like, oh, it'd be kind of cool, you know, play for the Yankees. And draft day eventually came by. You know, we had some friends and family and coaches and teammates over at my house, And it was a fun experience because, you know, all the people who've been able to support me my whole life through my career. And eventually, you know, 16th pick came around and, you know, my name went up on the screen, and it was a really exciting moment for me and my family. And, you know, I'm proud to be a Yankee now.
So how long before we saw it on television did you know that you were going to be the Yankees pick?
Probably like a minute before.
Oh, wow. Okay.
Yeah. So, I mean, it was kind of boom, it happened. I got a call or whatever. And, you know, next thing I know, I'm looking at the TV and my name's getting lit up there and they're playing a little video. So it's pretty special. It's pretty cool, though.
Did you celebrate pretty well that evening?
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, like I said, all my friends, family, and coaches and teammates were there. And, you know, we had good reason to celebrate, I guess, you know?
That's one of the greatest reasons. Absolutely. Yeah. So what were your contract negotiations like? I don't want to pry too much, but I would like a little bit of an idea for those of us that, you know, will never be on that side of the table, so to speak, what that experience is like.
Yeah. So, you know, going through the process, I'm now represented by Scott Boras and the Boras Corporation. And, so, you know, there's a process of, you know, determining, you know, how much money and whether school and stuff like that is going to be covered. And, it ended up, you know, going down to, you know, the final couple of days. And, so I was kind of in California along like about maybe a month or so after the draft. And, the whole negotiation process was kind of drawn out a little bit. But that's, you know, that's part of how, you know, the Boras Corporation does it. And that's why I'm with them. I mean, they're the best at their job, and, you know, they're good baseball guys, and they're even better people. So, you know, they're helping me every day, and they help take care of me. And, it ended up going a little late, and, you know, I was able to sign in time. And, so, yeah.
Were you nervous during that month or whatever 5 weeks it was during the negotiations? And what did you do during that, you know, time off?
I wasn't too nervous. You know, I knew I was in good hands, and those guys were going to take care of me. Obviously, there's, you know, a little bit of a, you know, sketchy, you know, skeptical feeling, like, oh man, is this really, you know, it's going to go through, right? Like, but, you know, I knew I was in good hands, and I was taken care of well. But, you know, from the standpoint where I was at, that was basically my first time to kind of relax a little bit. So I got to, you know, take a break on my body. You know, not hit it every day and work out every day, and just kind of relax just a little bit, and, you know, spend time at home with family and be able to enjoy a little bit of a summer. You know, possibly, you know, hopefully my last summer for a long time. Hoping that I have a long, durable and healthy career. So, basically I had a little bit of downtime, and then when the time was come, it was time to get up to Tampa and sign and get to work.
Yeah, that's actually a great take. I haven't thought of it that way. That's a good point. It is good to give your body a break after what should be a very lengthy career.
Right, yeah, absolutely.
So now, fast forward, they move you to the GCL and then up to the New York Penn League. I know you only got, I think, 11 innings of experience this year, but what was the adjustment, or what did you learn from, you know, the difference between college hitters and going to pro hitters?
I mean, to be honest, coming out of UCLA, you know, like I said earlier, part of the reason I went to UCLA was because I felt Coach Savage was, you know, one of the best pitching coaches in the nation. And, I felt pretty prepared going in. You know, I've learned, so much at UCLA, and we stress so many, you know, issues upon pitchability and, you know, why we throw certain pitches in certain counts. You know, how to move the fastball, how to, you know, throw a change up the right way and all these different things. And for me, I felt pretty prepared, you know, coming in and pitching against, you know, professional hitters. A lot of those guys that I did face out there were out of college, just like myself. So I actually did know and face some of those guys in my career in college. But, yeah, at the end of the day, I mean, there's a little bit of a difference. You can't, you know, give them too many good pitches to hit. You know, you kind of try and every hitter says they're going to get, you know, one or two good pitches to hit. As a pitcher, just trying to limit that as low as possible, and you know, really have small misses and never give them anything, you know, too close to the eye level or too close to the middle of the plate. And you know, if you do put it there, they're gonna hit it, and you have to be able to bounce back and get to the next pitch.
Great point. Did you just finish up with Instructs the last couple of weeks? Just recently?
Yeah, we finished Instructs maybe about 3 weeks ago.
What was that experience? If I could get you to talk a little bit about what that was like yeah. and what were you were working on.
Yeah, I mean, for me, my I was at Instructs to get my innings count up. They wanted me right around 150 innings. That way, I can, my body could go through the toll of what it's like to go through a full year and healthy. So I was able to go out there, get some innings in, and continue to, help, figure out my own routine and learn, going from a 7-day, full week of routine to a 5-day is going to be a little bit of a transition. When I was in Staten Island, they put me on a 6-day rotation, so it was a slight transition, but going out to Instructs, I was able to, kind of determine what days I wanted to throw sides on and what days I wanted to long toss and what day I wanted to take off, and just being able to, figure out my own routines and stuff like that for a 5-day was probably one of the biggest things for me, other than, going out there and getting innings in. So part of the makeup stuff that takes place, kind of in between the lines that not everyone sees was what I was out there working on.
Did you notice a difference in terms of fatigue between the 7-day throwing and every 6 days?
I mean, personally, not too much, because I just felt like, my body was in good shape and I felt, good to go. I actually almost liked it a little better. But I do know, once that 5th day, once I start going on a 5th day rotation, that 5th day is going to come around a little faster every week. And so you got to be able to handle your stuff and stay disciplined, weekly to be able to, give yourself the best opportunity to go out there and pitch and give your team a chance to win.
So now we're just a few weeks into the off season as we're talking now, and I kind of want to get your idea of what your goals are for the off season and what your goals are for the 2016 season.
Yeah, I mean, my goals are obviously I like to have high aspirations, and but as for body, I want to try and put about 10-15 pounds on. They want me up to about 215, 220. So definitely just get stronger. I start working out and tomorrow, actually. Training's going to be good, just getting after it 5 days a week and try and get stronger and learn more about, what I can do for my body, to be able to experience a full season and stay healthy, whether it's, hip mobility type stuff or core or any of that kind of stuff. And then, for throwing, just my goal is just take it, day to day and just be able to, throughout the season, just stay healthy and give my team a chance to win. That's my biggest thing. And, obviously, I want to climb the ladder as fast as possible, but I also want to make sure I'm prepared and ready and not going to be, rushed up there. But at the same time, if the team needs me to come up there and pitch, I'm happy to take the ball and do my best to give them an opportunity to win. So, I'm just trying to keep the goals set high and ride them out and get there as fast as possible.
Very, very good answer. All right, one last question for you, if I might. A little rapid fire, if I can. A couple of questions, and the first thing that comes off the or comes to you, if you may.
Okay,
first one. Best hitter you've ever faced?
Best hitter I've ever faced? Oh, boy. I want to say Michael Conforto.
Ooh, good answer. Okay, good answer. Any pitching or game day superstitions?
I always put my right cleat on before my left. Huh. Always.
How long has that been?
Since high school.
Okay.
Yeah, I don't know why. It happened. That's what it is.
Well, it's worked for you thus far. So
it has. Yeah, I'm not going to question it.
First purchase after signing a pro contract?
I haven't had one. I mean, I haven't really touched the money yet, to be honest. I've maybe bought, a pair of shoes or something, but, that was probably with, some Christmas money from last year or something. So I haven't really touched it, to be honest. I'm pretty simple, so.
That's a great answer. Not the one I was expecting.
Trying to be smart about it. Trying to be smart and, invest wisely and live a simple life.
That's a great answer. Not the one I was expecting, but a great answer.
Yeah.
Favorite food?
Favorite food? Ooh, sushi.
Ooh, okay. Good answer from California. All right, good answer.
Yeah.
And final one, most awkward fan experience besides this podcast.
Oh, one besides the podcast. That's funny. I took a picture with some girl one time. Like, she asked me to take a picture with her, so I was like, "Yeah, absolutely." Like, you know, just trying to be friendly and nice. So I take a picture, and I get like tagged on like social media, and it's like she was saying I was her boyfriend, and I was just like, "I don't know you. Like, you can't be going around saying I'm your boyfriend." But yeah, I'd say that was the weirdest thing that's ever happened. It hasn't happened since, but no.
Was she at least good looking?
She's too young.
Okay. Very, very. Gotcha. Okay.
Yeah.
Well, I don't know if that's I don't know if that's the best way to end an interview, but.
Yeah, seriously.
But James.
Hey, I'm being honest.
That's great. James, I'd love to give you a spot here for your plugs where people can find you on Twitter, Facebook, social media, anything you want to plug.
Yeah, I mean, I'm on Twitter and Instagram. It's just at James Caprillion, JamesCaprillian for both of those. And I don't know, I like tweeting and interacting with people and taking cool pictures of my life and putting them out and, you know, obviously being smart about it and having a good time and just trying to live life, you know.
Absolutely. James, I want to thank you again for joining me. This was just a really great opportunity for me to speak to you a little bit. As I said before, I'm a big fan of yours and I've been following you for a long time, so it's really neat to pick your brain a little bit and talk some baseball.
Absolutely, man. Thanks for having me. I appreciate it.
Absolutely. Stay healthy, and I look forward to watching you rise up the ranks in 2016.
Thank you very much.
And that was my interview with New York Yankees pitching prospect James Caprillion. I want to particularly thank James for generously joining me this week and giving a little bit of an insight into his college career and what has just been the beginnings of his pro career. So thank you, James. Hope to watch your progress into 2016 and down the road. Also, I want to thank everyone for listening to the show this week. Thanks for downloading, and please tell your friends to listen to the Nats GM show. Have a great week. Bye for now.